Welcome to a special two-part series for Alumni Live, the podcast about the history of the film and video major at Grand Valley State University. If you want to see a video of this episode, complete with the archive photos and videos, look for the link in the description. In part one, we'll meet our guests and learn about the early years of the Arts and Media major at William James College, which was part of Grand Valley State Colleges. In part two, we'll talk about the transformation from Arts and Media to the Film and Video Production major at Grand Valley State University's School of Communications and eventually the Department of Visual and Media Arts. We'll also hear about the Summer Film Project, the Lipped Up, and group experiences like bonding over late night edits or 12-hour film shoots. Join us as alumni Tim Sunt introduces our guests.
Welcome to another session of Alumni Live. It's a continuing opportunity to bring the Grand Valley film and video community together. We've put together a really nice group of folks today. I'm Tim Sunt. I actually attended William James College, graduated in 1982, so I came where video was really starting to come in. I really was involved more in video and television production. So I actually came there because I live in the east side of Michigan, not that far away, but never heard of the college. Got a mailing saying, we'll give you $500 a year, which back then was a significant amount when you consider $33 a credit hour back in the day. So I looked at it, looked at the catalog and said, hey, they actually have something I want to go into. Came out, looked at the college and started in the fall. So I'd like to have everybody introduce themselves and tell us who you are. Tell us when you were involved, if you're still involved with Grand Valley or not, and how you got connected to the college. What was it that brought you there, or who was it that brought you there?
Hi, my name is Greg McNeil. I graduated around 1996, I think in December of 1996. And I came into the program from another school. I was going to Ohio University at the time and ran out of money. And was looking for another school. And my grandmother ran into an article that she read about Julian Boyens, who had interned on a Spike Lee movie. And she told me, oh, you should check out Grand Valley State. And so on my break, I came up to visit her and toured Grand Valley. And that's how I got involved. So I came in mid-year to the film program.
My name is Gerb Epsting. I was a student at William James, actually started at Thomas Jefferson. And then transferred to William James. I heard about Grand Valley's experiment with alternative education within the Grand Rapids peace community. I was quite an activist, draft resister, anti-war activist. And within that group of people, we heard about Grand Valley State Colleges, which was the concept called the cluster colleges. And part of that cluster was Thomas Jefferson College and William James College. And Thomas Jefferson offered a bachelor's in philosophy, and William James was a bachelor of arts and bachelor of science. And I think what attracted me to transfer to William James was the arts and media major. And we're talking 1972, where we had experienced the second coming of television. Cable TV was one technological change. And then they developed the Sony Portapak, portable half-inch black and white recording capability. And it became an important part of social change to make media that helped facilitate social change. So that was really what got me involved in James, and an incredible journey, a perfect storm, the people that were there. The whole thing, I could go on for days, and it's informed my life. And then I also had the opportunity as an adjunct back in the 90s in the 16mm film program. So we'll talk more about that later, I think.
Hi, everyone. I am Stephanie Coriatis. I graduated in 2013. I first heard of the Grand Valley Film Program through a friend of mine who was actually a freshman and just getting accepted into the program. And I had been at that point a high schooler dabbling into, you know, low budget YouTube videos and very much aware that I wanted to pursue film. And he was talking to me and said, hey, it's a great program. I love it so far. And I went on one campus tour and loved it. And at that point, I fell in love with the program. I was there for 4 years, and I get a little emotional thinking about it, but it was certainly, it was some of the best 4 years of my life. So I owe a lot to Grand Valley and look back fondly on my time there.
Hi, I'm John Fieldman. I didn't go to Grand Valley, but I taught there for 23 years, just retired in December. How I got connected, I saw an ad for a professor of film, and I flew up on an icy January day where they had to hose down the wings of the plane to de-ice them, and landed and saw the campus. Met Tony Perrine, who you're going to see here in a moment, who picked me up at the airport, and the rest is history.
Hi, my name is Tony Perrine, and like my brother John there, I'm a former faculty member. I started in 1989 and retired just this past December. And it's kind of the way you get an academic job. We see the job posting, you apply. It's a pretty rigorous process. One of the women who hired me called it a stamina test. Deanna Morse and Barb Roos are the two women who were instrumental in hiring me. And yeah, it was an ideal position for me because it was in Michigan, which is my home state, and I was happy to return here. And it replicated a lot of things that I appreciated most in my film education, which again, we'll be talking more about later, but it was a great 30 years.
What was it that you found unique about the school, both when you began there, what brought you there, and as you spent more time with the classes, the school, the students, the faculty? Gerb, I'll start with you, because okay. You're of my era.
Yes, a little bit before. So this is 1972 to 1976 is, you know, my time. And just to put that in context, it was a period of great social change. As I mentioned earlier about the anti-war. So I actually graduated high school in 1968, and I was successfully able to resist the draft for 4 years through a lot of, you know, education and understanding and support. When I started James, it was 4 years after high school. And so my contemporaries who had been drafted, who had joined, and who had come back from Vietnam were the people that I kind of hung with at James. And these were the most active anti-war people on campus were the veterans. And because I was the same age, I was attracted to that community. So there was a lot of social activity in terms of ending the war. That really colored my first 2-3 years of being at James. We made films around that issue. We traveled to Washington, D.C. on a couple of occasions. Nixon was inaugurated in 1973. And the people, the community of filmmakers from Grand Valley, we went, we documented this. We came back and did a presentation to different local high schools, a multimedia show about the war. The other part that really is important, I think, historically, as I mentioned earlier, cable television was coming to the country. And actually, the whole country got involved in this talk of what does it mean that we go from 3 channels to 500 channels in some community. And it became a First Amendment issue, freedom of speech, that people should have access to this. And so what got invented, and this was a national conversation, Congress was involved, the 1976 Cable Act, a student group and a citizen group who were educated about the importance of cable to a democracy, to people having access, got together, and we educated and lobbied the Grand Rapids City Commission. Cable companies would come and negotiate with the city because they needed to use the right-of-ways. And anyway, this established a really good model in Grand Rapids for public access TV, and it's still going on today. And I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of the fact that my education had to do with social involvement. It wasn't this sort of ivory tower kind of thing. It was really involved in the community. And at that time, there were so many other areas, environmental studies, urban planning. Those were all things going on at James at the time. It was really at the forefront of all the sort of revolutions and alternatives that were happening. It was really exciting. And then from there, I just got into, there was also a film program. And it was called 16mm 1 and 16mm 2. And 16mm 1 was learning how to use Bolex and shoot film, expose film, and actually edit film. And then 16 millimeter two, it upped a little bit to doing what we call double system and sound. And it became a little more sophisticated. And it was out of that program that the Grand Valley also, William James developed a study abroad program. And I got to go for a semester and study at the Italian Institute of Cinematography in Rome I was there for almost 8 months. 12 of us went, and it was a pilot program. The Grand Valley paid for the entire amount. It was an amazing experience to go, and that's really where I kind of made my career as a filmmaker, director of photography, and upon graduation, that's how I, you know, made my living for the next 30 years, and I still work in the media, so.
I'd like to jump to a faculty perspective. So I'll start with Tony. What was it you found that was unique about the school and about the program when you came to Grand Valley?
Yeah, so my experience at other schools was actually as a student. Grand Valley was my first and only full-time teaching job. So when I came here to teach, I was a total newbie, but I did my master's degree at the University of Michigan and my PhD at Northwestern University. And what was important to both of those programs that I attended previously to coming to Grand Valley was the idea of combining theory and practice. So we were both learning how to use the tools. And, you know, that's an important part of it, especially back in rural rolling production, because it's a pretty exacting craft. But that the theoretical perspectives, the history, the critical studies part is an important part of what students need. And it kind of connects to what Gerb was talking about in terms of understanding the importance and significance of media and film, that you're doing something significant with whatever mode that you choose to work in, and that hopefully you understand the power of the medium and use it to create significant work. And I would say that was one of the through lines for William James to the School of Communications, because William James, the motto which all students see when they're in Lake Superior Fall is no impression without expression. In other words, you don't really retain what you're learning unless you're doing something with it and hopefully doing something significant with it. So William James' idea was carried through into the School of Communications when it formed in 1984. And in fact, a lot of the faculty who taught in William James were the ones who created the School of Communications. And that idea of theory and practice kind of evolved into integrating liberal professional education. So that was kind of what the School of Communication was all about. And so that kind of theory and practice, doing it and also analyzing it, criticizing it, learning the history, understanding the social context, being aware of the power of these powerful media. So that was all part of what carried through the different iterations, if you will, of film and video production at Grand Valley. And I mostly did the film studies part, but when I started, what was really cool about it was I got to teach just about everything in the curriculum before we became bigger and more specialized. So that was really fun as a teacher to both teach film studies and full production, which you don't have the opportunity to do at a lot of other places.
We'll get back to a couple of students yet, but I might as well stay in this tack with John. Tell me about what is it you found when you came to Grand Valley that was unique? What was different for you?
I was an adjunct at Columbia College, Chicago, and then I went to Southern Illinois, Carbondale, got my MFA there, and I became a lecturer there before I came up to Grand Valley. But going off of what Tony said, I remember the School of Comm thinking that was very unique, because in Southern Illinois and at Columbia College, it was very much the film program was off on its own, which is fine, but it was very much like a little silo that did its own thing. And the School of Communications blended film and video production with television broadcasting, with journalism, comm studies, and so on. And I thought that was actually very interesting, partly because I did a little journalism when I was in school working for the school newspaper, and I did television, and I did, you know, regular motion pictures. And so I liked the idea that they were all blended together.
We're taking a short break to tell you about the Chuck Peterson Memorial Fellowship. The fellowship was established by Chuck Peterson's family and friends to assist the upper-level students in the film and video program at GVSU who are working on creative projects that support the nonprofit sector in their community. Kyle Machime, the 2020 recipient of that fellowship, describes the benefits of the support he received.
When going through this fellowship, there are three separate parts of yourself that I think get to experience a lot of development. The first is as a student, because this is a learning process. You get to learn how to work with a client on your own, independently out in the world, away from the classroom, like you would in something like producing for clients. And the second one would be as a video maker, as a video producer, as someone who has respect for the work that they're doing and wants to improve on themselves and produce a final product that can be used out in the real world. And then the third one would be as a citizen. You know, you're not making video for an entertainment value or for some kind of commercial purpose. It's for a nonprofit. It's for a direct benefit in your community. And being a citizen of that community, understanding how you can directly impact and improve it is a really valuable experience that I think the fellowship teaches you to be as a student, as a filmmaker, and as a citizen. All three of those things are directly a part of this process that you get to learn and ask yourself, how do I want to be seen and how do I want to act as these three roles?
For more information and to donate to the scholarship, visit the link in the description. Now back to the show.
Now, Stephanie, you're the most recent grad, so let's jump up to your era. What was it that really stuck out? What made it unique for you?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this question a lot. And for me, the faculty is what make it so unique. The relationships that I was able to develop and connect with the faculty, those are lifelong. I am still going to my advisor for life advice and continue to have that relationship today. I remember when I think I was a sophomore, so it was my second year in the program, and just chit-chatting with Kim Roberts. And I said, Kim, do you have any children? And she goes, I don't have kids. I don't have time. I have all of you guys. And I was like, oh, yes. That's, you are our mother. So I think back to that and how that kind of really impacted me and made my time more meaningful. I mean, I can even think back to working with John, working with Tony, and having moments of just total film school meltdowns, as you do when you're in film school, and having them be there for me was something that I don't think I would have been able to get anywhere else. And like I said, my connection with the faculty has maintained since I graduated almost 8 years ago, 9 years ago now. It's something that I think very unique to the program. I know that I haven't had that experience anywhere elsewhere, and I'm so thankful for it.
I want to finish up with Greg. What was it about Grand Valley that really stuck out to you or continues to?
What really stood out to me was just how self-directed we were all expected to be. And the School of Comm itself was very much on its own, just doing its own thing. And as students, we were expected to be that kind of self-directed force of nature. You know, we were given remits and we went on and did our thing. And that came down to everything. You know, all the technology at the School of Comm was open to us and it was there for our taking. And when I first got there, I asked, what's that device in the back of the room there? Oh, that's the optical printer. I'm like, oh, how do you use that? Well, here's the manual, figure it out. And we were given all of these toys and this huge sandbox. And we were just told to go forth and do our thing. And I think that's what really, really helped me in my later pursuits, because I knew that I had within me the power and the confidence to go forth and do whatever I needed to do without asking permission or looking for approval necessarily. And I think that's what made my experience at Grand Valley unique. We were very much on our own and within our group, within our own filmmaker group, we got very close and we were kind of doing our own thing. It was pretty fantastic.
And Tony, you had a thought that you wanted to add in here?
Yeah, I wanted to follow up on something that Stephanie said, actually, which is about the faculty in the program. Of course, we've had fabulous students, and that goes without saying, hopefully it speaks for itself. But we have also benefited from a lot of talented, dedicated, and hardworking teachers who haven't always been as supported as they might have been by the university in terms of resources. So we've actually done a lot with limited resources over time, but we've been supported and energized by a lot of visiting faculty members, a lot of adjuncts, a number of whom have actually been alums. I think it's a wonderful way that so many people have given back to our program and to our university. And I just wanted to mention a few names. Gurp here, of course, Suzanne, who's in the background there. One of the producers of the show, Melissa Bowman, Pete Porter, Maggie Annarino, Gretchen Vintage, Carrie Vanderhoff, Joel Petrikas, Spencer Everhart, Ryan Coppy, Sarah Vesely Naraki. There are others that I missed who are adjuncts. And these are all people who went through the program and then dedicated their talents, keeping it strong. So that's, I just wanted to put in that word of appreciation for all those people who really energized the program over the years.
Now, one other name, of course, that's in there is Barb Roos. We have a clip we're going to be looking at pretty quick coming up here. Barb taught for, I'm not sure how many years. She was there when I was
35 years.
I think it was, I'm counting 40.
40, so, okay.
Now, she was there before she was like.
She was adjuncting when I was there. It's between 72. And I think it was in 77 that they offered her a full-time position.
So. 77, okay. Yeah.
Well, I came there in 78. She was my advisor and just seemed like she had been there, probably had been since, you know, almost the beginning of it. So was a tremendous force. And I think, you know, that force is still felt through all the students and staff who were and faculty who were there, because she was there for such a long time and had a great impact. She did a documentary about WJC, and we're going to see a clip coming up here. And if you want to see the whole presentation, we're going to put a link on here as well. But let's just look at a clip talking about the conversation that was William James.
These are not the ivory towers of a traditional American college, nor are these traditional halls of ivy. William James College was founded in 1971 as an alternative college. Our inspiration, the philosopher William James, the psychologist, the artist, and teacher William James. He taught us that we learn in order to act. At James, we tried to merge theory with practice and balance individualism with a commitment to community.
The qualities that I saw in people were sort of self-initiative, willing to follow things through, willing to take risks, willingness to fail, and a desire to really do what it took to get the job done, which in many times meant a lot of work and a lot of redoing.
Now we'll hear an audio clip from alumni Karen Kleinhexel, who was part of the William James Arts and Media community from 1972 to 1976.
I came to Grand Valley State Colleges, specifically to go to William James College from Washington, D.C. in 1972. I wanted to go into social relations. However, about halfway through, I took a 15-credit class called Community Video Workshop, taught by Bob Conroe. I think there were 12 or 15 people in it. Anyway, it was the most exciting thing to me, and I pursued my arts and media concentration. Anyway, I have saved a couple of my textbooks I thought you'd want to check out. The Spaghetti City Video Manual, Signs of the Times, and the Guerrilla Television book, which was $3.95 as a textbook, not bad.
Girl, tell me what it was that really fit, the way a film and video program fit with that whole philosophy.
One of the things that I think was really unique about James is that you sometimes couldn't tell the faculty from the students. Now, this was also back to the social period, because you had returning warriors from the Vietnam War, so they were older. It was also the women's movement, and a lot of women who had been raised in the traditional family culture decided that maybe that wasn't going to fulfill them. And so there were older women that came back to go to college. So it was a very diverse community in that sense, from an age standpoint. And also because of the nature of the times, and so much new stuff is going on. You know, it's like alternative was this key term. alternative everything, alternative counterculture also was a term, like against the dominant culture of the time. So faculty would sometimes, and many times, teach courses that they weren't necessarily had majored in or were, you know, trained in because they were interested. One of my important teachers there was Bob Conroe, who was an English PhD, a writer, written books, and he was fascinated by the video movement. And so he taught courses, but he didn't know the first thing about making videos. And that was sort of this sense of we were all on this journey together. That's what made it so exciting, and the life experience of people. And I think the other thing that for me was so powerful was William James felt like a matriarchy. It was the women that were running the college. Adrian Tinsley was the dean. There was an assistant dean, Rhonda Rivera, who was an attorney. And then Barbara, of course, and Tony and Deanna. It was what the women's movement could really say, you know, let the women run things and see how they do. And it was an incredible experience for me. And this idea that faculty and students, you couldn't tell apart. I think that's what kind of led me and Barbara to become partners and friends. We collaborated in film and, you know, then we collaborated in having a family together. We were filmmakers together at always different levels of experience. And that's the beauty of filmmaking. It's a tribal experience is what I think of.
The documentary about William James College illustrates a core principle of the school.
Central to the idea of the college was the integration of theory and practice, an insistence that what we learn be useful in the world.
Part of the dynamic back then, too, was that you had on campus both a radio station and TV station. So a lot of the people who were in the program back in those days in the 70s, 80s, either were then trying out things at WGVU. I worked there for 3.5 years doing, a lot of it was doing sports, just doing production and learning to work with a team. It was a great way to learn. So when you got out in the work world, you had that work experience. Also saw some very experimental stuff going on. Walter Wright was a professor there who would come to the studio at night with some of the students and just try some very different video projects they were working on. And also the radio station on campus, SRX, Student Run Experimental. And it was experimental. It was student run. They tried a lot of different things. There were dramas. There were daily programs. But those two areas gave a lot of students a way to then use the energy and some of the ideas they had, both in video or on radio, to experiment, have fun with things, learn. And it was a great part of that dynamic.
1977 alumni Jeffrey Miller talks about the early technology available for studio productions.
We had a small studio in the basement of Manitou Hall, and we did an old black and white studio. We had two blunder-tongue video cameras, television cameras on heads, studio heads and peds. And our headsets were like those kind you see in the old movies, you know, the old operators had, you know. And we had what we called a ka-chunk switcher. So when the director said, you know, ready one, take one, and you heard this ka-chunk. And then we call it the ka-chunk switcher. But it was in the basement of Manitou. And most all of us ended up working up at WGBC. I was one of the announcers who did all the voiceovers and the things and so on. So we had a lot of fun doing that. We worked in master control, production control, studio cameras, and so on. It was great training for us all to get our hands on stuff. And so concentration was a great, great program.
I started after William James, but a lot of my colleagues, again, were part of it. And I felt kind of envious, like I had missed something that was very cool. And I think we get that from listening to Gerv and Tim talk about the experience. It was a much smaller place. It was very experimental. It was, you know, literally an experimental college. And insofar as it was the laid the groundwork for the School of Communications, that, you know, some of that aspect did carry through. But the School of Communications became a much larger entity, had 8 different majors and a grad program, and went from the 12 faculty when I started teaching there to 30 by the time it was reorganized a couple of years ago when film and video and photography were added to the art and design major. So it became a new entity, virtual and media arts. But the School of Communications and the university in general became much larger, and I guess I would also have to say more conventional place. So that's one thing that was perhaps lost with growth and with success. And it was, you know, a changing cultural context as well. But the things that we held onto, I think, were part of what makes the Form Video program unique.
Thank you for joining us for the special two-part series of Alumni Live, the podcast, about the history of the film and video major. Be sure to listen to the next episode in the series, where we'll talk about the summer film project, the lip dub, the experience of bonding over late-night group projects, and more. Subscribe to our podcast to hear more from our alumni as they talk about their work in different parts of the industry. Check out Alumni Live on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more conversations. Let us know what topics you want to hear our alumni talk about. The Grand Valley State University Film and Video Alumni Network is here for you, and we're glad that you're here too.